Who are the real people we consider our sages? Who were they in life? What is the legacy they left us? Join Rabbi Danny Sackstein for the next hour as he explores the lives of our Torah giants, the spiritual geniuses who shaped the way we approach Judaism today. That's Focus on Our Sages right now on 101.9 Chai FM.
So welcome, and lovely to be with you this Wednesday afternoon. So I'm live from my home here in Ben Hazel, and with our wonderful technology, we're able to connect even though we're in isolation, even though we're still in level 4 of lockdown. So let me share with you some interesting ideas. The rabbis of South Africa were very fortunate this week to have a Zoom call with Rabbi Asher Weiss. Rabbi Asher Weiss is one of the great rabbonim of our time. He lives in Yerushalayim, and he has a kollel and a Beis Din, and many of the difficult and new questions that arise in the world today, particularly medical shailas, often go to Rabbi Weiss. He's just a person of tremendous knowledge. He knows Kol HaTorah Kulo, and he's a wonderful human being. And we were very fortunate, the rabbis, to big thank you to Rabbi Gideon Fox and Rabbi Chaikin that arranged this Zoom meeting with Rabbi Weiss. And he said some interesting things. So the first thing he said was that I'd like to share with you. I think that are of interest to all of us. First one he says is the Gemara Bava Kama says in Daf Samach, the Deva Baal Le'olam, when there's a Deva that comes to the world, Kaneis Raglecha, you should stay home. Kaneis Raglecha means you can gather in your feet. In other words, when there is a plague, when there's a Deva, you know, often when we learn these kind of Gemaras, we think, gosh, these epidemics don't apply to our modern world and are not relevant to us. But unfortunately, we've all found out in a very powerful way that these things still do apply to our times. And there is a plague, there is a magefa, there is an epidemic, there's a pandemic. An epidemic is localized, a pandemic is worldwide. There's a worldwide pandemic. And therefore, kanes raglecha, says the Gemara, we all have to be careful to stay at home and to listen to the guidelines of the authorities, and to be as responsible as possible to ensure that the spread of the disease doesn't take place. And as the prophet Yeshaya, the prophet Isaiah Hanavi said in Perek Chavav, Lech Ami, Boi Chadrecha Sagur Dalatecha. The prophet Isaiah said, in these kind of circumstances, go, my nation, go into your rooms and close the door and be careful and be very on top of things in terms of social distancing and preventing the spread of the disease. So we find ourselves alone. We find ourselves isolated, although there's a bit of an opening up that's taking place since last Friday. But still, nonetheless, most of us are on lockdown or in isolation. So how do we view these kind of things? What are the Torah approaches to these things? One of the Torah approaches comes from Shir HaShirim. We know on Pesach, usually on Pesach when we're in Shul and we have Minyanim, so on Chol HaMoed Pesach, Shabbos Chol HaMoed Pesach, which is the Shabbos of Pesach, there's always, because Pesach is 8 days, in Chutzlar 7 days in Israel, but there's always the Shabbos on Pesach. So on that Shabbos we read Shir HaShirim. Shir HaShirim is the beautiful book written by Shlomo HaMelech, by King Solomon, the wisest of all people. And the Rambam tells us in Perek Yud of Hilchus Tshuva that Shir HaShirim is a mashal of the love between Hashem and Klal Yisrael. Now, Shir HaShirim talks about two individuals, two a man and a woman who are in love with one another, who have a loving relationship, and unfortunately they separated by circumstances. And it describes the different emotions and situation that as a result. And the Rambam says that's actually referring to the relationship between Hashem and between Klal Yisrael and between the Jewish people. And the Sforno says, we see from Shir HaShirim that when the husband leaves, the wife is concerned that her beloved has gone, and it seems to her that he has moved on and has forgotten her. But then the Shir HaShirim says, no, that's not the case. He has not forgotten her at all, but rather he is waiting for her, and he's standing by in order to reunite with her once more. And as it says, Hine ze oimed achar katleinu, that He stands behind the wall. He's not there presently with her, and he's behind the wall. He's not far, but he is separated from her. And there are two different ways when a person is separated from their beloved. One is mashkiach min achalonos, is they look through the window and see their beloved. They're still watching over them. They're still looking at them and feel connected to them. And the other one is metzis min acharachim. So these are both, that's the pasuk in Shir Hashirim. Hinazeh oimed achakalenu, he stands behind the wall, and he's mashkiach min achalonos, he's looking through the windows, or metzis min acharachim, or he is peering through the cracks. Now those are two different ways when there's a separation, when beloveds are not with each other, that separation can take place. One is, the first one is that, mashkiach min achalonos means that he looks through the windows. It means if somebody's looking through the window, the other person who's outside looks back and can see the person looking through the window. So although they're not together in person, they can still see one another. That's the one way the galus works. And galus, our relationship with Hashem, we're now in galus, we're in exile, which means that the temple was destroyed and we're not with Hashem. Hashem is not, we don't have the intimate connection with Hashem because we don't have a base on Mikdash. So there's two ways we now relate that we separated from our beloved. One is that he's looking through the window and we can see him. And the other one is metzitz min acharachim, which means he's peering through the cracks. He can see us, but we can't see him. Those are the two levels of our relationship with Hashem now that we're in exile. We'll continue with this after our short ad break.
This is Focus on Our Sages with Rabbi Danny Sackstein on 101.9 Chai FM.
So we're discussing our current state right now, that we're in galus in exile, which means the Shechina, God's presence, is not amongst us. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. We don't have a temple built in Yerushalayim. Although we're blessed in our times for the last 72 years to have a state of Israel, but we still see many Jews are spread across the globe, and we're not living in the pristine, perfect state as a single, united people in the land of Israel. And so we long for the building of the Beis HaMikdash. We long for the ingathering of the exiles. We long for the ultimate redemption. During this time of the galus, so when we look at Shir HaShirim, which is a description between the relationship between Hashem and the Jewish people, it tells us that at the times of separations, there are two modus operandi. There are two ways that Hashem engages with us. One of them is mashkiach min achalonos. We shouldn't think that although Hashem is not with us in an intimate way, that we don't have a temple, that Hashem has deserted us and has gone away. That's not true, because God is either mashkiach min achalonos, God is looking through the window and watching us closely and still has that deep connection with us. And the watching through the window means that we could look, turn back at the window and see God is watching. So that's one of the ways we relate, one of the types, the characteristics of our relationship with God at this time. And the other one is metzis min acharachim, is that God peeps through the cracks, that God is still there, but even if we're looking around, we can't see him. He's behind the wall. He's behind the bush and looking through the cracks in between. We can't see. He's camouflaged. He's not there. And those are the two different characteristics of our relationship with God while we're in exile, while we're in galus. And they change. They're different. We move from one to the other and back to the first one during the time of our exile, during the galus. So, for example, when the Jewish people are going through very hard times and are experiencing great difficulty and turmoil, so that's definitely an instance, an example of metzitz min acharachim. For example, the Shoah, the Holocaust, where we couldn't see God. God was hidden, and there was tremendous suffering that was happening to the Jewish people. And we underwent the most difficult turmoil probably in our history during that time. So even though God is there, we can't see him. There are other times when we see God, when it's, although we are separated, we still can see him and we turn back and look at the window. So this perhaps is one of those times that the coronavirus has now spread across the globe and there's terrible suffering to the Jewish people and to all of humanity. But there are certain signs of God's presence, of God being. Firstly, living in South Africa, thank God, bli yan hara, it hasn't been too bad over here, and we hope that it will remain that way, and we hope that all of the population will be very scrupulous and careful in the guidelines that are prescribed to us by the authorities, and we make sure that we are keeping social distancing of 2 meters between us and another, of keeping our hands clean, of making sure that we're not touching our face with our hands, etc. So we need to make sure that we are very careful, but let's hope that it doesn't spread as severely as it has in many other countries in the world, in Europe, in the United States. And please God, the numbers of fatalities should remain low. And likewise in Eretz Yisrael, Baruch Hashem, it hasn't been as severe as many other places in the world. And already in Eretz Yisrael, they're opening up and they're beginning to return back to normal, to the new normal, which will be obviously with restrictions. But please God, so Hashem should, please God, protect the Jews all over the world, and for us, our community here in South Africa, and the community in Eretz Yisrael. But in order, we want the situation to end. We want to reconnect. The two individuals that are in love want to be with one another. They want to live together and live a normal, healthy, married life. And that's what we want. Klal Yisrael, more than anything, wants to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, connect with Hashem, to be united with Hashem. We want Hashem just to burst through the door. But it says in Shir HaShirim that in order for the reconnection to take place, Hashmini es koilech, let me hear your voice. Hashem says, the husband says to the wife, let me hear your voice, and that will lead me back to return. Hashem wants to hear our voice. How does Hashem hear our voice? What is the voice of the Jewish people? So of course, our voice that Hashem is longing to hear, which will bring Hashem back to us, is the voice of Torah and the voice of Tefillah. The voice of our Torah learning as a nation, and the voice of our prayer as a people. And these are special times for both learning and for davening. When there's a choir, very beautiful choir, and you hear the harmony of that choir, so you don't hear individual voices, and it's very powerful when you hear a choir singing. You know, even with our modern rock, when there are people that harmonize together, it's very beautiful and very powerful. Many great rock bands can do that with great skill and talent. Or if you hear an orchestra, when you hear the orchestra playing and there are multiple instruments that are played together, so you're not hearing the individual instruments, it's really the work of the conductor who's bringing everybody together, and there's a beautiful sound of the orchestra playing in unison. So that's obviously, you know, a very powerful thing. But you don't hear the beauty of an individual singer in the choir. You don't hear the beauty of an individual instrument in the orchestra. You'll only hear them when they're playing solo, when they're playing on their own. And right now, with regards to our Torah and Tefillah, we have to play solo. We don't have the chorus of the choir, which lifts us. And we don't, which is obviously the most powerful thing. Certainly with Tefillah. So as the Rambam says, in Perek Ches, Halakha Aleph of Hilchas Tefillah, that the power of davening in a minyan is so powerful and way outweighs the ability to daven alone, although that's the reality, but still there is a real beauty in the solo performance of an individual, in hearing that person's voice. And that's what Hashem wants of us now. Hashem definitely wants us not to make minyanim. Hashem, we're an oines rachmana patre, that it's something beyond our control. There's nothing we can do. But definitely Hashem doesn't want us to be irresponsible and to be spreading the virus in ways that we shouldn't be doing so, in ways where we can protect ourselves. So we can't have minyanim. That's for sure. We definitely can't have minyanim. But even so, Hashem wants to hear our voice. Hashmini es kolech. Hashem wants to hear our individual prayers. And we're still obligated to daven shacharis, mincha, ma'ariv, 3 times a day. And those prayers are very, very powerful and can have a great impact on all of, on the situation right now, certainly on our individual lives and definitely on the entire world. And please God, we'll see that there will be therapeutics and treatment for coronavirus soon, successful therapeutics. Please God, we'll see a vaccination being developed. But we need the spiritual merits for that to be, for Hashem to lead us to that. So our tefillah is very, very important for ourselves, for our families, for our community, and for all of the world, for all of humanity. So we're flying solo right now. We're singing on our own. It's a solo performance, but we need to be davening, all of us. So we urge everybody to take something on with regards to tefillah. Even if you're not necessarily an observant Jew who davens three times a day, but do something. Now, because of this coronavirus crisis, this pandemic in the world, take something on. Take on saying Shema every day. If a Jew says Shema, that has a tremendous power in creation. A Jew declaring that Hashem is our God and that Hashem is one, that's a very powerful spiritual force that exists in the world and that we all could contribute to. We all must contribute to. So if you don't say Shema every day, say commit to saying Shema every day. We're supposed to say Shema in the morning before Sof Zman. Shema, Sof Zman, Shema right now is at 9:18 in the morning. So one should say Shema before Sof Zman, Shema, preferably with tefillin on. And we also obligated to say Shema at night after the sun has gone down, after the stars have come out, after 6 o'clock in the evening. So we're supposed to say Shema then also. So that's a wonderful thing to commit to. Commit to Shema morning and evening. Commit to davening Shmona Esrei once a day, to saying the Shmona Esrei, which is such a beautiful, powerful prayer that connects us to Hashem and brings tremendous light and spiritual healing to the world. So we're supposed to, and davening, learning as well. So we got a bit more time on our hands. So it shouldn't only be spent on social media and on Netflix, but we should also make sure that we allocate some of that time for spiritual matters. And we allocate some of that time for davening. So take on the Shema, daven one Shmoneh Esrei every day, daven three times a day, which is the ideal situation, and learn Torah. We all need to be learning Torah. But Hashem hearing our voice of Torah learning also has a tremendous power. And Baruch Hashem, we have the technology. So there are many Zoom shiurim going on all over town, all over the world. There's on the internet, we access a tremendous amount of shiurim, a tremendous amount of Torah knowledge. Let's do that. Let's learn. Set aside time for learning and davening every day. 15 minutes of learning Torah a day. That's all. 15 minutes, 20 minutes a day. Open up a book. Look something up online. Go to aish.com. It's the most wonderful resource with very relevant and powerful articles. Listen to a shiur. Go to torahanytime.com where there are thousands of excellent shiurim. So there's great opportunity to access online many different platforms of learning of Torah. So let's all do that. Let's all commit ourselves to learn and to daven. Hashem Hashmieni Eskolech should hear our voice. And please God, we should see an end to this pandemic and we should see the healing of all of the world quickly and where we can return back to our normal lives. There's another beautiful idea I wanted to share with you all. And that comes from the trip that I was very privileged to be on together with my wife and my parents last July. It's, international travel seems to be something that is, way off right now. I do think it's going to be a long time since there's going to be air travel once more, certainly cross-border air travel. It's going to be a while, a couple of months, if not years. But anyway, we were very privileged to make a trip to Poland and Lithuania with a wonderful group of South Africans, some Americans as well, together with Rabbi Pesach Kron. Rabbi Pesach Kron, who's the Maggid of our generation, a person of wonderful knowledge and insight and eloquence. And it was a great privilege to go to these places with Rabbi Kron. And one of the highlights of the trip to Poland was going to the kever of Rabbi Elimelech of Lizhensk, the Noam Elimelech. Rabbi Elimelech was born in 1717. He died in 1787, and he was a person of immense genius and a person who inspired thousands of Jews in his lifetime and continues to inspire the Jewish people after his death with his wonderful teachings that he wrote, his famous sefer, Noam Elimelech. And when one enters into the oil in Lizhensk, one has to travel to Lizhensk, which is quite a long drive from Lublin. After we left Lublin on our way to Warsaw, on our way to Krakow. So we went from Warsaw to Lublin, then Lublin, we went to Krakow. So on the way to Krakow, from Lublin is Luzhensk. And there's a beautiful oil, a beautiful room in which Rabbi Elimelech is buried. That's where his grave is. And when one enters into the room, so there's a prayer that's on the wall, a beautiful prayer that was authored by Rabbi Elimelech. And within that prayer, one of the things that Rabbi Melech writes in the prayer, and it's beautiful. You say that prayer at his grave, which is the prayer that he wrote. It's very, very powerful. And we sang and we danced and we sang a nigun, a tune that Rabbi Elimelech was very famous for. And it was a very powerful, uplifting moment. There's a clear, distinct spiritual energy over there at the kever of Rabbi Elimelech. And in that prayer, one of the things we say is, Adarabba, ten b'libeinu, liros malos chavareinu, v'lo chesroinam. So Rabbi Elimelech says, he writes a prayer that every Jew should daven to Hashem and to ask Hashem to give us the ability, ten b'libeinu, liros malos chavareinu, to see the good parts of our fellow, v'lo chesroinam, and not their deficiencies. And that relates very beautifully to something that we saw in last week's parsha. Last week we read the double parsha of Acharei Mois Kedoshim. And in Parshas Kedoshim, we have the commandment of V'ahavta le'arecha kamoicha, to love your fellow as yourself. And that's something that we should all, it's a very difficult mitzvah. One of the most difficult mitzvahs in the entire Torah is to love our fellow as ourself. To love our fellow, just like we love ourselves. Now, why does the Torah put it that way? Love your fellow as yourself. V'ahavta le'arecha kamocha. The Torah puts it that way because the normal human being, a healthy human being, a person who's psychologically balanced and healthy, a stable person, when they look themselves in the mirror, so they see a person who's got strengths and a person who's got weaknesses. We all know we've got weaknesses, certainly, and we've all got strengths, but we generally see that we have our strengths overcome or outdo our weaknesses. Our strengths are more than I'm generally a good person and I try hard and overall I'm in the good. That's how we see ourselves. That's how a healthy person sees themselves. And that's after Rakamecha, love your fellow like yourself. The Torah is telling us that we should see others in the same way. When you see somebody else, see that there's good points and there's bad points, but generally they're a good person. And the good overrides the bad. That's how we should view others. And that's exactly what Rabbi Elimelech was saying. He's saying, see the good in others and not the bad in others. And that's something that takes work. It's not easy because it should be natural to ourselves to see the good in ourselves. Although we have a plague of lack of self-esteem, even more widespread than coronavirus and even more destructive than coronavirus is the plague of lack of self-esteem in our 20th and 21st centuries. And there's good reasons for this, that I believe. I have a whole theory about that, but we don't have time for it now. But a healthy person with a healthy self-esteem will view themselves as good. We should see others in the same way. See, they got good points and bad points, but focus on the good points. Now, our default situation, we see others, we're critical, we focus on the bad, we see them, we categorize them very quickly, and we judge people negatively. That's what the Torah doesn't want us to do. The Torah wants us to see the good in others, and that's the prayer of Rabbi Elimelech. See the good in others. Please, Hashem, help me. See the good in others and see their positive points like I do in myself, and help me, they have to reckon, to love a fellow like myself. And that's something we all should be working on, particularly at this time, because at this time, we see that there's a lot of darkness in the world. In order for light to return, we need to be united. There needs to be love. There needs to be acceptance. We need to be non-judgmental. That brings the light of Hashem into the world. Please, God, the light of healing to the world. Please stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
This is Focus on Our Sages with Rabbi Danny Sackstein on 101.9 Chai FM.
So we're going to end off now with an idea which I think is very pertinent to what we're all going through right now. We started out with Shir HaShirim, with a beautiful idea that we, even though we're in exile, we're separated from our beloved, that we long for our beloved to burst through the door and to be reunited once more. And that is something that is a very basic requirement within the Jewish religion, that our longing for Mashiach, longing for the Messianic era, is a basic prerequisite to the emunah, to the faith of a Jew. Let me quote for you the Rambam. The Rambam writes, the famous Maimonides, the great genius, who lived 1,000 years ago, the Rambam, who was the famous doctor as well, the doctor of the leader of the Muslim world, who was in Egypt at the time, of Suleiman the Great. So he was his doctor. And the Rambam writes the following, right? He writes in the beginning of Perek Yud Aleph of Hilchus Melachim, HaMelech HaMashiach Atid La'amod, that the Mashiach will come in the future. B'kol mi she'eno ma'amin bo, o mi she'eno mechake levi'asoy. And anybody who doesn't believe in this principle of Mashiach, or doesn't long for the coming of Mashiach, lo b'sha'a nevi'im bilvad hu koifer, ele b'toira uv'moshe rabbeinu. So such an individual who doesn't believe in Mashiach, who doesn't long for Mashiach, doesn't only not believe in the other prophets, but doesn't believe in Moshe Rabbeinu either. Sherei ha-Torah ha-ida alav shemar, because the Torah bears testimony to the fact that Mashiach will come. As it says in Devarim, and he quotes the pasuk in the Torah, Perek Lamed of Deuteronomy, v'shav Hashem lokech eshfusecha v'rachamecha, Hashem will bring back those that have been pushed out, and he'll have compassion on you, v'shav v'kibetzecha, and he will bring you back and gather you in. So even if you pushed off to the far ends of the heavens and the earth, Hashem will bring you back. So that's what the Rambam writes. Now, there's a very big question we can ask on that. A question that is asked by the Nesiv Shalom. Those who listen to my show regularly, and I thank you very much for doing so, you'll notice that I often quote the Nesiv Shalom. Nesiv Shalom was a famous Rebbe, Hasidic Rebbe. He was the Rebbe of Slonim, the Slonim and Hasidim. Then Nesiv Shalom died in the late 80s, and he's a person of tremendous genius and wisdom, and his works that he left us called Nesiv Shalom, both on the Torah and on other principles in Yiddishkeit, are just beautiful, magnificent, real gems. And I enjoy learning and teaching Nesiv Shalom very much, and recommend others to do so too. So he asks a question on this Rambam. He says, why is it so important that we have to long for Mashiach? Yes, we can understand. Believing in Mashiach is an essential part of Judaism, that we're going to have the Messianic era. But why do I have to long for Mashiach? In other words, I could believe, yes, Mashiach is coming, and there will be an ultimate tikkun to the world. The world will be rectified and perfected with the coming of Mashiach, and everybody will see the light of Hashem. But right now, things are okay. I'm quite happy with where I am. And in fact, one of the Torah values is to have gratitude and to be appreciate all the blessings in your life. So I appreciate all the blessings Hashem has given me, and things are going well. And I'm not longing for it to change, for Mashiach to come. Yes, I believe Mashiach will come, but now things are good. So he says, why, the Rambam calls such a person who's not longing for Mashiach, but just believes him, he believes in Mashiach, but doesn't long for Mashiach, such a person is a koifer, is a heretic. Such a person is denying the truth of the Torah and Moshe Rabbeinu and all the prophets. Wow. Why is it so severe not to long for Mashiach? So he explains very beautifully, which is a fundamental principle in all of Judaism. And that is that our understanding is that Hashem created the world the way it is now. A world where we all have bechira, free choice, and we can choose to do good or to do bad. We can choose to indulge entirely and be totally engrossed in the pleasures of this world and in a hedonistic lifestyle and understanding of life and a hedonistic behavior, that it's all about eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you will die. That's one approach to life, and many follow that approach. Or we can resist the Yetzer Hara, our evil inclination, and we could strive for something bigger and greater. We could connect to a spiritual reality, and we could dedicate our lives to develop, overcoming our lowly physical bodies and connecting to a higher spiritual entity. And that, of course, is Hashem, is God, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And how do we do that? We do that by following the commandments that God gave us at Mount Sinai. The commandments are a framework within which to develop ourselves and to grow and to break free from the shackles of the material physical world, of kinatai v'kavod, of our passions and appetites for power and pleasure, and to go beyond our finite small selves and connect to something bigger, something higher, something greater. So that's the purpose, that's the great challenge that we all face in our lives. Which way do we go? Do we remain small-minded and just live in this physical material world? Or do we break out of that narrow view of life and connect to something higher and bigger, which is spirituality? That's our challenge, the challenge we all face constantly every moment of our lives. And the longing and this concept of Mashiach is that there will be a time when this reality ends, when this current period where a human being has bechira of free choice ends, and the whole world will be filled with the knowledge of God. Ki malei aretz dea es Hashem. The whole world will see God and will connect to God. V'niska Hashem levado b'yomahu. That the mosque will be removed. The Messianic era, the mosque of God's hiddenness will be removed, and everybody will acknowledge and see the creator of the universe and the purpose of existence, and we'll all play our part in unison. Every human being in this world, and will serve Hashem as we are supposed to. That's the Messianic era. So longing for the Messianic era means that we understand that it exists. We understand that there's such a reality. That we're longing that this great travesty of justice will end, and God, who's the creator, and God, who's the benevolent sustainer of all of humanity, will be acknowledged and will be seen and will be clear. It will be clear to everybody in this world. So we long for that time. So that's built into the Emunah of the Yid, is that there's going to be a Messianic era, that the world will reach perfection. There'll be no suffering, there'll be no darkness, there'll be no illness, there'll be perfection in the world. That's the Messianic era, and we long for that. The longing for that means that we actually understand what it is. If we don't long for it, it means we don't really understand what it is. It means that we don't grasp what it is. So longing for Mashiach means that we have an understanding and an ability to, we sinked into the understanding of life as the Torah describes it, as God has told us. We understand the process of the world the way God created. So longing for Mashiach is an essential factor in that. If we don't long for Mashiach, it shows that we don't buy into that whole system. We don't believe in that system. We don't follow that way and that system. Please stay with us. We'll continue in a moment.
This is Focus on Our Sages with Rabbi Danny Sackstein on 101.9 Chai FM.
Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. And it's been great being with you, and I hope you've enjoyed being with us. And please continue to join us, listening to Chai FM, and join us on Wednesdays at 1 o'clock. That's my slot. So I just wanted to end off with that which we've been talking about, just to conclude our little discussion. We're talking about the power and the importance of longing for Mashiach, of the Messianic era. We said, we just stated now, as the Rambam says, if a person doesn't long for Mashiach, it means they don't really understand Mashiach. They don't really understand how the pattern of this world and where it's going, the direction in which it's headed. The longing of Mashiach indicates that we understand this world functions as it does, the way it is now, and it will, there will be a change. There will be a marked change in the way the world functions and operates, and that marked change will be when the world sees Hashem, when Mashiach comes, and the light of Hashem will spread across the globe, and everybody will realize our purpose and our function is to serve the Creator, the God who made life, who sustains life, who runs the world. And we'll all follow those directives, those requirements, and live together in harmony, in peace, in tranquility, in prosperity, and in health. That will be the Messianic era. Mashiach will bring in, the Messiah will usher in that era, and humanity will live in perfection. And the world word tikkun olam actually comes from there, that the world will be perfected. There will be a tikkun, there will be a rectification and perfection of the entire world. Now, in order for that time to come, there's a few prerequisites. One of them being is that Klai Yisrael need to long for Mashiach. So the wanting and waiting for Mashiach shows that we understand what life is and what we're doing in this world. And the wanting Mashiach actually brings Mashiach. That actually brings the Messianic era closer. And we learn that from Yetzias Mitzrayim. We see with regards to Yetzias Mitzrayim that the Klai Yisrael, in fact it says in the Midrash in Yalkut Shimoni, B'schus Emuna Nigalu Avoseinu Mitzrayim, B'schus Emuna Atidim Nigal. That in the merit of Emuna, the Jewish people were redeemed from Egypt, and in the merit of Emuna, we will be redeemed in the future. So it's through our Emuna, through our desire to want to see the Messianic era, to see the truth on the world, to see the end of darkness and suffering and pain that exists, that desire and longing to see perfection and Hashem's presence return once again to the world is actually what's going to bring Mashiach. So that's the famous tool that we have. And just to end off, one last word that Nesivos Shalom says. He says that our sages, Chazal, tell us that Mashiach is often described as the birth of Mashiach. And he said, just like with Mashiach, there will be a suffering, a terrible suffering, with regards to, just like with the birth of a child, a woman experiences labor pains. And in order for the child to be born, the woman goes through a tremendous amount of anguish and pain. That's going to be the same with Mashiach. There's going to be Chevlei Mashiach. There are going to be labor pains of Mashiach. And the world will experience difficulty and suffering, and that will give birth to the era of perfection and of light and of rectification of the whole world. And he says there's no question that the suffering that the world went through, in particular the Jewish people went through, with the Shoah 75 years ago, so that definitely was the birth pangs of Mashiach, and certainly the coronavirus that we're going through right now is also part of the labor pains of Mashiach. And there's another midrash on Shir Hashirim that says that Samach leMashiach, Devar Ba'al Olam, they're close to Mashiach. There's going to be a great plague in the world. So there's no question Mashiach's not far away, and we all therefore need to raise our game and be ready, lift ourselves, and ensure that we have worked on ourselves spiritually. We haven't just lost like animals just following our instincts in this world in a single narrow dimensional approach, but we have worked on ourselves spiritually, and we are raising ourselves up in order to serve Hashem, a higher spiritual force, and we are developing and growing each day. So please, God, we should all see the end of this darkness and the suffering. We should all celebrate together with the coming of Mashiach and the building of Bayis Shlishi. B'mehera, B'yameinu, Amen. Thank you for listening, and have a wonderful day.